Oh, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all the things you've given to us. We pray that you'll be with me as I speak, and let the words that come out of my mouth be your words, and let none of my own words or thoughts come out in this. This is from you. In Yeshua's name, amen. There's a lot of information in this Torah portion, and what we have is Yahweh's instructions for the final items of the tabernacle: the incense, the perfume, the laver. We also see the impatience of many of the people. Not everyone was like this. As with any project, we must wait on the Father for the instructions. Sin always enters into the weak ones. Oh, sure, they seem like righteous people until they are tested and have to wait. And often find out that when we're at the beginning of a project, people are really intent about wanting to finish it to the very end. But what happens is, as it takes time to go through the processes, people are bored with it. They're waiting. They don't have an answer to what they want. And then mischief abounds, and the truth comes out of who they really are. Many will walk away. Others will incite others to riot. Others will want to take matters in their own hands and do it their own way. And when we have this, we have chaos. We have disruption. We have an unclear message as to what Yahweh intended for us to do. Then the people will doubt. Many will say that, oh, where is the promise of his coming? What happened to the master? Why is he delaying? Many questions start arising, and then the focus shifts from what Yahweh wanted to do to what they want to do. And then the leaders of the rebellion come out and say, well, what happened to the one that said that he was going to come back? What happened to Yeshua? And he says he's going to come back. Many years have passed since his ascension into heaven. Many things have happened, and we're wanting to know what happened to him, where they should have been focused in on the project at hand to be occupied until his return. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, but those who wait on Yahweh will receive new strength. They will lift up their wings and soar like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not be tired. Yahweh gives us the strength to finish the mission. In fact, some of those who were in the mission, they died in the process, and yet the project still goes on. Whatever the project may be, the building of the kingdom of God is not a minor thing, it's a major project. And it happens throughout all the generations from the time of Adam to this time now. And we're only now beginning to see the beginning of the end of the process. We're finally be able to look and see what he's doing with our own lives, and some of the verses that come to life as we see that their fulfillment is coming at hand. In Luke 19:11 through 27, we read, as they were listening to these things, Yeshua went on to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem. And the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. So he said, a man of a noble birth traveled to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself, and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Conduct business until I return, he said to them. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to be king over us. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he summoned the servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what they had gained by conducting business. The first one came to him and said, Master, your minion has earned you 10 more minions. He said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in a very small matter, you will have authority over 10 cities. The second one came and said, Master, your minion has produced 5 more. He said to him, You will be over 5 cities. And to another one came and said, Master, here is your minion that I had laid away into a piece of cloth. For I was afraid of you. Since you are a demanding man, you take what you do not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, you wicked servant, I will judge you with your own words. You knew that I am a demanding man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping where I did not sow. Then why did you not put the money in the bank? Then I would, when I returned, I would collect it with interest. He said to those standing there, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. But he said to him, Master, he has already 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now for those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Today we say the same thing. In fact, they said that they didn't they did not vote for him and that to be a leader over them. They didn't want to follow his laws. Rather, they traded his laws, which were few by comparison, for their laws, which they could never follow, for there were millions of them. We do this to enslave others under us to make their lives miserable. Many people who have done these things, they make laws because they don't want to follow God's laws, which are few in number. In fact, when you look at the entirety from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we see that there's just a few that pertain to us on a daily basis, where they've traded that few laws for many laws. In fact, they number so much that they said that in America, that at any given time, they were in violation of 5 laws that we don't even know of. In Matthew 24:43-51, but understand this, if a master of the house had known what time the thief was coming in, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. You also need to be ready for this reason. The Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is faithful and wise servant whom his master has been put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom the master finds doing this when he returns. Amen, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all that he has. But if the servant is wicked and says in his heart, my master is staying away a long time, and he begins to beat his fellow servant and eats and drinks and with the drunkards, the master of that servant will return on a day when he does not expect it, and an hour he does not know. The master will cut him in two and assign him to a place with the hypocrites, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So in this, we have to be faithful, not just in tarrying, but we have to be occupying with what God has given us. If it's money and finances, we need to be able and willing to use that money he's given us to do his bidding. And it's not just in money, it's in talents. It's also in the things that he's given us as knowledge and ability to teach others and how he wants us to live in his kingdom, how he wants us to teach his kingdom rules, and how he wants us to live with our fellow citizens. We can be like the world and say, oh, he delays. Well, they said that in Noah's days as well. Oh, we've heard of this time of the flood, and we've heard it from our parents and our grandparents and the ones before them, that God is going to send a flood. But they said even this, that they didn't believe there was a God. Until the floods came and the rains came down, it was so hard they couldn't sin anymore. Then they repented of their deeds, and Noah said, I can't let you in. I didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And then God caused the animals around the ark to protect the ark and drive those away that would not have anything to do with him. And Yeshua is saying the same very thing, that if he finds us not occupying till he comes, we're going to be faced with this decision. We're going to have to pay the consequences for that very act that we didn't do, as well as the ones that we did do to our fellow servants. That is, that we took and abused our authority that God has placed in us. We misled them. We beat them. We caused them pain and suffering, where we could have been helping them and coming alongside of them and not just giving them handout, but teaching them how to sustain themselves and help other people. This is part of our responsibility as citizens of the kingdom. In Matthew 25, 1 through 13, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. When the foolish ones took their lamps, they did not take any oil with them. But the wise took oil in their containers with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The five foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil because our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, "No, there may not be enough for us and for you. Instead, go to those who sell and buy some for yourselves." But while they were away buying oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the virgins also came and said, "Lord, Lord, let us in." But he answered, "Amen. I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." When we are waiting on Yahweh to do we become impatient with him when he does not come, when we think he delays? Because he does not come when we think he should be, when he should be here. We must be careful when we are waiting on him that we keep busy doing our Father's work. We can go on day after day and go through the motions. But as the time goes on, we become bored. We become dissatisfied. When I was working at a job, I noticed an important thing. That when people loved their job, the pay wasn't a matter of issue. But when they became bored and uninterested in their job, then the money became more of an issue to them than the working for helping the customers. We can't afford to do that in the kingdom. We have to be dependent upon what the Spirit tells us to do. As in the case of the virgins, all of them had time to go purchase the things they needed to. They had the resources available to them to go and buy the oil, to trim their lamps and get ready. If you notice here in this parable, all of them got up at midnight. There was not the problem that they were drowsy and fell asleep. No, that wasn't the issue. It's that they weren't ready. The five were not ready. They were more interested in the moment. And when he delayed in coming, oh, they had enough oil to make it through that time. But in the middle of the night, somewhere, the oil ran out. So they were not prepared for the time that when he would come. And they were caught without knowing when he was going to come. And they didn't have the resources available. He's not asking us to stock up enormous amounts of food that we could make it years and years and years. He's asking us to do with what he's given us. Some only had $10 or $1,000, for instance. Others had $5,000. Some had only $1,000 in their bank accounts. But it doesn't matter how much we have. It's what are we going to do with what we do have, and to make it where we can help somebody else. In 2 Peter 3, 1 through 13, it says, "Dear friends, this is now the second letter I've written to you. I wrote both of them to stir up your sincere mind with a reminder, for you to remember the words spoken earlier by the holy prophets and the command of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. First, know this. In the last days, scoffers will come with their mocking, following their own lust. They will say, 'Where's the promise coming of? Where's this promise coming of his? For from the time of our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they have from the beginning of the creation.'" You see, they are intentionally forgetting is that the heavens came into existence long ago by the words of God, and that the earth came together out of the water between the waters. Through these waters, the former world perished when it was flooded with water. Now, by the same word, the heavens and earth have stored up fire since they have been kept, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. For the Lord, one day, like a thousand years, one day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is like one day. Yahweh is not slow to do what he has promised, as some consider slowness. Instead, he is patient for your sakes, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On the day the heavens will pass away with a roar, and elements will be dissolved as they burn with great heat. And the earth, what is done, it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be, living in holiness and godliness, as you look forward to the hastening of the coming of the day of God? That day will cause the heavens to be set on fire and destroyed, and the elements to melt as they burn with great heat. But according to his promise, we look forward to the new heavens and new earth, in which God, which righteousness dwells. In our waiting and preparing for the bride, we must be wise so that we are not caught off guard. We must maintain our testimony and be vigilant so that we do not make bad decisions and make only agreements with those who have gone before Yahweh and ask if it is his will. In other words, we need to make sure that when people come to us, that they are actually coming with the Spirit of God. They're not waiting impatient. They must be of sound mind and of doctrine, and they believe in what God is doing with us and with all those in believing in him from Revelation all the way back to Genesis. We must be waiting on him, but not just waiting idly. We must be studying, and we must be looking for his examples in all the things he's done, but also we must be doing the right things at the right time, because the word that's done in proper season will produce much value. We must be waiting on him with patience and endurance with all the things that he's put in us. He's given us a lot of responsibility, but he's also given us the tools and the people and the resources to do them. So we must be looking for the opportunities and asking him, what do you want us to do? Is in Exodus 34:12, it says, be careful that you do not make a treaty with the inhabitants of the land to which you are going, or it will be a trap in your midst. So he instructed us not to make a treaty with the inhabitants of the land, with the people, but we are to be seeking him on a daily basis, asking him if this is the right thing that we should do. If this person is representing to be ill towards us, we must be also looking for God's answer to this and not act on our own mindset on what we think is right. As in the case in point of this, in Joshua 9:3-18, it says, however, the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai. They responded by coming up with a clever scheme. They gathered their provisions as if they were going on a trip. They loaded worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins that were worn out, split, and mended. They put on worn-out patched sandals on their feet. They put on worn-out clothing. All the bread and the provisions were dried out, and it began to crumble. Then they came to Joshua at camp in Gilead and told him and the men of Israel, we have come from a land far away, so now make a treaty with us. And the men of Israel said to the Hittites, perhaps you live among us. How can we make a treaty with you? They said to Joshua, we are your servants. So Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? They said to him, "Because the name of Yahweh, your God, your servants have come from a land far away. For we heard the report about him and all that he did in Egypt, and all the things that all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were in the area east of Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who was in Ashtaroth. All the elders and inhabitants of our land said to us, 'Take in your hand provisions for the journey and go to meet them. You should say to them, "We are your servants, so now make a treaty with us." This bread of ours was hot when we packed it for a trip for at our houses on that day, on the day that we set out to come to you. Now look, it's dried out and become crumbs. The wineskins were new and filled with, and we filled them. Look, they have burst. Look at our clothes and our sandals. They are worn out because of the great length of our journey. So the men of Israel took them and their, some of their provisions, but they did not seek the word of Yahweh. So Joshua made a peace with them. He made a treaty with them to let them live, and the leaders of the community swore an oath to them. But 3 days after they made a treaty with them, the Israelites heard they were their neighbors. That is, that they were living among them. So the people of Israel set out to, and came to the Gibeonites city on the third day. And the cities were Gibeon, Kephron, Borath, and Kiriath-Jearim. And the people of Israel did not attack them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn an oath to them by Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, so that the whole community grumbled against the leaders. In this, Joshua missed one fatal thing. He did not inquire of Yahweh before he went on and made a treaty with them. Had he made it, things would have might have turned out totally different than what they did. Because as it was, they made them woodcutters and water carriers. But who's to say what their children did to the Israelites during their time that they were in the land? They could have been a snare. In fact, they were a snare. They had to go back and help them because they made a treaty with them because they became under attack. So because of this, they're impatient. They did not understand that they were being deceived. We have to be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. We have to take them, not at their word, but what does Yahweh say about them? What is you inquire of Yahweh, and he's going to reveal the things to you that you would not be able to know. They didn't know that they came in just a few days before that, and they loaded all this old stuff in their belongings, and they wore worn-out sandals, and wore shabby clothes, and they were probably dirty, and they weren't cleaned up. So they probably looked like they came from a long journey. But if they really asked of God, God would have shown them, this is the truth. They did not, they're deceiving you. Do not make a treaty with them. Kill them. Get them out of your life. And they would have sent a message back to the Gibeonites saying, oh, we messed up. And they might have surrendered and became slaves anyways. Or they could have been put to the sword. We don't know. We do know this, that in all the dealings of Israel, from the time they left Egypt to the time of Mount Sinai, they were always impatient with God. They never inquired of him and asking them for the provisions they needed, and we often do that today. We want things done our way, on our terms. We're going to follow this timeline, and if God doesn't show up on this day, we're going to do something else. Maybe we'll make a new timeline. Maybe we'll make a new prophecy. And there's plenty of false prophets out there that will do exactly that. And we're not to be taking their words. We need to go back to what Yahweh has said. And what does he say? What the old prophets, what did they say? In reading Isaiah today, I was looking at that and saying that we need to be careful of doing what Yahweh says to do when he says to do it. Because the day of destruction is coming. It is not some fairy tale. It is not something that was made up by the people of old. This is something that he's been showing us over since the time of Adam to the time of Micah. Malachi and all those prophets of old, and even today, he's speaking to us through the Spirit, and he's saying, be ready, for you do not know the day nor the hour, but we know we're getting close, and we have to follow his way, his word, exactly how he says to do it, and not become impatient, but being able to do the things that he's called us to do, be prepared and be diligent and do the things he's called us to do.